In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us, everybody, for the Word for Life. Nice to have you back here this morning. I'm Jack Gardner. I'm Word for Life producer. I'm here with Pastor Ken Keltner, lead pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and also Pastor Mark Widmer. So it's, as always, nice to have you guys here and nice to be back. Also, we'd like to let you know about some things here. As tomorrow will be Christmas Eve, 4 p.m., we want to remind you of the Brookside service that will be going on. And then on Christmas Day, the 25th, which is Sunday, of course, there'll be one service at 10 a.m. We'll also have on January 1st, one service at 10 a.m. as well. And, you know, as we approach Christmas, we obviously here at Brookside want to wish everybody a really wonderful Christmas.
We have much to be thankful for, even in the days in which we're living that are at times difficult. And we have been in our study of when Christmas really began. It didn't begin there in the manger of Bethlehem, but back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. And that's where we have found ourselves in our last two studies. If you've missed any of the broadcasts, go back and pick up with us, because we've just left off on the on what Satan, the serpent, and again, when we're talking about the serpent, we're not talking about some reptile. I mean, the reptile was involved. Satan entered that reptile, that serpent. But it was Satan who's been given that name, serpent, that actually came with the temptation. The prohibition that God gave to Adam and Eve was not to tempt them to sin, but to test them to see if they would surrender and obey in obedience to his command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So last week, or our last broadcast, we were talking about Satan questioned the word of God. Hath God said? He always puts a question mark where God puts a period. He contradicted the word of God, you shall not surely die. And then he criticized the character and the wisdom of God, thinking, making them think, hey, you're getting ripped up. God's not really that good. And unfortunately, people buy that, thinking God isn't really that good to me. And we looked at how this temptation, even the New Testament is expressed in 1 John 2, 16, in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the same temptations that hit Eve there in the garden were the same three exact ways Satan went after Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And there, if you remember, Satan kept tempting Jesus, and each time it was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And each time, how did Jesus deal with those temptations?
Yeah, he quoted scripture every time. I think from Deuteronomy was the main place he quoted.
And we have a record of his response to Satan in Matthew chapter 4. You know, he said, man, it is written. And I love how it is written, that emphasis there. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Do not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, you know, worship the Lord and him only shalt thou worship.
Yeah, in case there's any doubt, these are the words of the Bible.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, friends, that's really what is at the heart of many of our problems today. We do not trust the goodness and the trustworthiness of God. Eve had been manipulated by the serpent. Adam was not deceived. He simply chose companionship with Eve over fellowship with God. And now suddenly, because of that sinful choice, paradise is not so beautiful. Listen to Paul's message concerning the result of Adam's disobedience. We find it in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, therefore, just as through one man's sin it entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. And so now dark shadows fall over Adam and Eve as they contemplate what they've done. It's almost like the smell of death is in the air there in the garden. The only one that was really happy over Adam's choice is that serpent now lying quietly over by the tree. But sin did not originate with Adam, because sin originated with Satan. whom John says, according to 1 John 3:8, he, Satan, has sinned from the beginning. And so that is where sin began. Someone says, well, why did God create the devil? Well, he didn't create the devil. He created Lucifer, that archangel, who at one point had the ability to make a choice, and he made a choice to rebel against God. And it was because of that sin. That was the first sin. And yet now, the sin has come to Adam, and it has impacted us all.
You know, and although we know that Satan, you know, was Lucifer, I think, I can't speak for everybody else, but it's oftentimes you can almost miss that. You can almost, I don't want to say forget it, but it not be top of mind and go, oh, right, that's right, you know, and how that, how it didn't start like that. And, you know, you would think you wouldn't need to be reminded of that. Yet I can speak for myself. Sometimes it's like, oh, wait a second. You know, I do need to be reminded of that, that's in fact how he did start. He, you know, that he didn't start where he ended up. He started somewhere else, and that was in a good position.
Yeah, he did.
God gives us a good description of that. I think it's Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, where very clearly talking about the high esteem position that Lucifer was given. And yeah, as we're talking here, how he just threw that away, thinking that he was going to be able to somehow be equal or even superior to God, and God set that record straight pretty quick.
And the amazing fact is a third, I mean, he's so good, a third of the angels of heaven, we don't know what that number is, actually went with him.
Yeah.
And so because Adam ate of the fruit from day one, we all now enter this world selfish, self-centered, and ready and willing to do any and everything contrary to God's word. You never, ever have to teach a child to lie. You never have to teach a child to steal. We don't even have to teach a child to be angry or violent. I mean, isn't it interesting that a baby comes home from the hospital, and when they're hungry, they let you know, and not in a gentle way. You let that baby get hungry, and you're going to see and hear anger as they will flail their little arms, and their face was going to turn all sorts of color as they scream to the top of their lungs. And David simply declared in Psalm 51, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And so Adam's sin entered into the world, and the Bible says we have all sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. A lot of us don't like to acknowledge we're sinners. You know, we like to say, well, no one's perfect, you know, today. And then we don't like to use that three-letter word of sin. You know, it's more of a disease, you know, this disease of addiction or whatever it might be. But, I mean, there were immediate effects of the consequences of Adam disobeying God's command. And Pastor Mark, there in chapter 3 of Genesis, why don't you read verses 8 through 14 for us?
And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life.
And there are several consequences here. I want to just point out three for you. First of all, Adam and Eve discovered guilt and fear. The serpent's promise about their eyes being open was only half right. Their eyes were open, but not to the delights of being like God. Mm-hmm. Their eyes were now open to an awareness, hey, we have disobeyed. And you see what happened? All of a sudden, they saw themselves in an entirely different light. And what transpired, first of all, for Adam and Eve was fear. It was an irrational fear because it makes no sense whatsoever. Because God has been coming each evening to walk with them and talk with them in the garden. And now, this time when he comes, what do? They run and
hide.
They hid, thinking that an all-seeing God cannot see them behind the tree.
And they also had a sense of their own nakedness.
Yeah.
For the first time.
You know, where do you hide from an all-seeing God?
Yeah.
Nowhere.
I think it's funny in that, too, that they had sewed the fig leaves together, right? But Adam says, we are naked. Well, no, not totally, right? Because you've tried your own concoction here and stuff. But just that overwhelming guilt and shame is just driving
and,
them here.
And that's what sin does to us. It makes us think that we can get away from the presence of God. There's no one in the world more miserable in life than a Christian who's trying to hide or run away from God. I mean, when you're adopted into the family, you're adopted into the family. Hmm. Secondly, this fear was absolutely senseless because they'd eaten the fruit God told them not to eat. Now they're under the penalty of death. And what could save them? Nothing in their surroundings could save them. There was no one in the world that could save them. The only one who could save them was God, and when he came, they ran trying to hide from him. The only one who can save us from our sins is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, God sending his Son, that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he went on to say that he did not send Jesus into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Mm-hmm. And yet people are wanting to run and hide from God today. Completely foolish here, Adam and Eve are. And yet, unfortunately, some maybe under the sound of our voices today know that God's your only hope, and yet you're running from him. You say, well, I'm listening to the broadcast, aren't I? Yes, but you might be satisfying somebody else's desire for you to listen to the broadcast, or maybe someone else's desire for you to go to church. And God approached Adam with a question, where are you, Adam? Oftentimes, you've heard it said, questions soften the heart, whereas accusations harden the will.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And God comes, and can you imagine, it's the very first question recorded in human history. And the question is, does God really not know? God doesn't ask this question because he doesn't know where they are. God asks this question so that we can see how God deals with the sinner. And we'll pick that up in our next broadcast because this is very important because God could have dealt with them in a much different way. Trust that you have a great Christmas, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. We look forward to you on the other side of Christmas as we'll continue our study here in Genesis 3.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.